Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue on a Wednesday. Glad you can be with us on Wake Up Call. All right, let's get the good of the day, my friend.
You know, the good of the day, that's good. I like it. I don't know if anybody else will. I thought this was kind of fun. But A's outfielder Brent Rooker.
Okay.
I know you know who he is.
Sure, because he's an A.
Because he's part of the Athletics. He decided to kind of chronicle all his favorite breakfast spots that he went to this season.
Okay.
And I just thought that was a really cool idea. He put out his top 10 list. He even told people what to order. And he says, I don't know if you guys enjoy this or not, but, you know, I'm kind of doing this for me. But he went to like 30 different places this year. And it was just something that, I don't know why, I just found it kind of fun and wonder why, you know, why don't professional athletes do this more often?
I don't, especially baseball players, because they're in a city for a good chunk of time.
Yeah, they're there for 3 days sometimes.
So it's a little different than if you're in the NBA and you kind of bounce into a city
NFL,
and you bounce out
there.
Of the NFL, you're not really there for a considerable amount of time. But if you're in Cincinnati for a 3-game series, you hit up the hotel concierge with, hey, what's some places to eat that are known for breakfast?
Maybe walking distance.
Yeah, well,
from the hotel.
Where can I go around this place that will give me good breakfast? Like, oh, you want to try this place, and then he just blogs about it or does whatever he wants with it.
He just kind of put together a little list and said, hey, "This is what it is." And you know, I mean, like he said, I mean, it was mainly for him, but then he decided to share it with everybody else. And yeah,
I love breakfast. I love going out for breakfast.
Well,
that
was the other thing pointed out, like, because baseball players really, you know, they can't ever really go out to dinner,
right?
You know,
there's usually
the
dinner provided for them. Yeah.
Right. I mean, sometimes they'll go out afterwards, but you know, if you got a game the next day and you're not really much of a night guy or want your booty rest, you wake up early. It's like, okay, well, let's go get a good breakfast.
Yeah, let's go get some eggs and some bacon or some pancakes or some French toast or whatever it is. Great.
Yeah. So he chronicled like the foods he wanted, the foods he liked most at the restaurants he had, and one of them I'm kind of curious about. It's a Wagyu Loco Moco. Loco Moco is kind of a steak and eggs and rice type of dish. Hawaiian type, but this is with Wagyu beef. So,
which is awesome. Good for him.
Yeah,
I think breakfast for dinner is underrated. I think more people should get breakfast for dinner.
Have you ever been to Cherry Creek in Denver?
I've been to Cherry Creek.
There's a restaurant called Del Frisco's.
I heard of Del Frisco's. I've never been there.
And that's one of the foods that landed on his list, and it's a French onion soup breakfast sandwich.
See, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. He should have a whole breakfast blog thing.
Right?
It's awesome.
French onion soup breakfast sandwich. Something you probably never would have thought of having.
It's probably got a little bit of that cheese that melts over the side of the bowl.
With the breakfast... Or the French onion flavoring.
Yeah.
Probably fantastic.
Probably delicious.
Probably need a lot of gum.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
So he's not going to like
maybe
IHOP or Denny's.
No.
Really cool things.
Yeah. They're all places that, I mean, if you're from there, you probably have heard of it.
Right.
You know, I mean, none of the places I've never heard of. Because he didn't visit any place that I know. But, you know, I don't know. I get asked
all the time here in Nashville if I've ever gone to this place or this place or this place. I go, nope.
But isn't it funny? I remember when I living in San Diego, there were a few breakfast spots that I knew of that people, you know, if I would tell out of town people, like, hey, you know what? You should go to this spot. One was called the Potato Shack. It was fantastic. And it was just this little tiny spot. Line to get in was horrible because there was no seating on the inside. But, you know, the food was great. The pancakes were the size of a gigantic dinner plate. And the price was right for all the food in there. And you walked away feeling sick to your stomach.
Filled with breakfast food. Yeah, exactly. Well, good job. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is that premature celebrations happen all the time. Right, Tony?
Sure.
You know, we see it all the time. But for South Korean skater, I'm not going to try to, I'm hopefully don't butcher his name, Young Chul Won. Not only did it cost him the race, he was beat by 1/100th of a second.
That's devastating.
Right? Because he celebrated too early. But it might have also cost him his exemption from having to serve in the military.
Okay, so he...
So in South Korea, it is mandatory for everybody, I think it's under the by the age of 28, I believe, to have served 18 months in the military. Now, you can get an exemption, especially if you're an athlete, like if you're a soccer player or an Olympian, you can get an exemption from that. You know, musical artists, like remember, I don't know if you remember that Korean group BTS, I think that's what they're called. They all got an exemption from having to serve in the military because they're doing the thing. But every male, if you're not one of those lucky few, every male has to serve at least 18 months in the military. He had an exemption going because as an athlete, and if you get a gold medal, you get the exemption. If you're an athlete and you don't get a gold medal, no exemption.
I would, wouldn't you want to make sure you could absolutely get that exemption? Because doesn't the military service derail your training for yes. The Olympics and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
So you would say, look, I want to be in the Olympics. I want to compete in the Olympics. So I better make sure I'm not going to the military, which is not going to allow me to train for the Olympics. They're going to train me to be in the military. You would want to make sure you landed that as best you possibly could.
Right.
Right? That you made sure that you locked that bad boy in before you celebrated.
Yeah, I mean, and the worst thing about this was that this was during a relay. Oh. So there's also two other people who are counting on you to bring home the gold to get that exemption.
Right. Now, every day that they're in the military, they can blame this guy.
Now, he does have another chance because, you know, he is 27 and there is another chance for him to get an exemption. Or, you know, no, he's younger than that.
Right. Well,
he's younger than that. So there is another chance. So it's a story. That's why I said it may have cost him his exemption.
Okay. So if that entire relay team has to go to military service,
yeah.
You know, some people on teams go, no, it wasn't one guy. We lost as a team. That could be the exact opposite.
Yep.
These guys would be like, no, the only reason I'm here is because Dum Dum over there celebrated too early and lost by 1/100th of a second.
I can just see the sergeant right now. Telling the other two guys, hey, guys, eyes forward, because they're just like mean mugging him. Like, I should be having breakfast somewhere in a different country.
Exactly. Should be working on my Olympic dream, but now I'm stuck here with you, idiot. Yeah, it's pretty harsh, man. All right, do we have time for the dumb of the day?
Yeah, we can do
the
dumb.
Let's bang out the dumb of the day.
All right. Well, I mean, I have two.
Two? All right, we'll have to carry it over.
Yeah.
Carry it over.
But, I mean, if not, you know, we can just do one, and I can save the other one for another time. But because, you know, I carried them over from yesterday. this one I love. Because we're starting to see a trend where bars are getting into the act of, hey, here's a promotion. Come in and, you know, drinks are on us if this happens. We did one in Wisconsin recently where for every game Aaron Rodgers lost, drinks were on him.
Right.
And technically, he never lost. A Chicago bar, the Clada Pub, I don't even know if I'm saying that right. They had a dumb promotion because they were guaranteeing a Bears win last Sunday or the drinks were free.
Oh, no. But you know what? Yeah, like, I'm glad it's in the dumb because I don't feel sorry for these bars.
No, I don't feel sorry for them either.
You know,
I mean,
you know the risk going into these things.
They got stuck with a $5,000 tab.
Yeah.
The bar itself, because, and they probably thought they were at home scot free. Here comes a $5,000 payday towards them. And sure enough, no, Bears had to choke it up. Not only that, but they were out some money too because they were giving away free pizza at halftime.
Oh, well done. Well done.
So, regardless if you won or lost, you still got free pizza.
I know it's a competitive world out there for the almighty dollar. I get it. But chill with the. Everything's free if something happens.
Why would you guarantee a Bears win, though?
Yeah.
That's the only thing. I mean, I know I get it. They were playing against the Broncos, but still.
Still, be careful. Be careful with guaranteeing Braves victories.
Yeah.
You know? What you want to do is you want to have, like, a guaranteed win thing where you say, hey, come to the bar, have a good time, watch the Bears. If they lose, we guarantee they're going to win. But if they lose... We've worked with other companies to give you a great coupon book of awesome businesses.
Yeah, you get little
us.
Prizes here and there.
Like prizes, like cool prizes. Like you go, would you like to donate this? We're doing a promotion. If the Bears lose, we're having a raffle. We're having this. We're having an auction. Whatever it is. But don't be like everything we just charged you for is free.
Yeah, if the Bears lose, instead of $2 for the raffle ticket, it's $1.
Right. And we won't have the raffle if they win. Well, you'll have to wait till next time.
Yeah.
You know, and if they lose, then we'll have the big raffle for all this awesome stuff. Right? That's it.
We'll just roll it on over.
That's right. Terrible.
But yeah.
Terrible. All right, the second dumb of the day is coming up next. So we continue with Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. Again, we'll continue to look at the Major League Baseball postseason from last night, NFL coming up. And again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's.
Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, continuing the good, the bad, and the dumb. We are in the second dumb of the day as we continue along on SportsMap Radio. And again, on Twitter, if you want to hit us up, at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver. And that's Ron with two N's, please. All right, what's the second dumb of the day?
You know what? I hate to do this, but I got to give it to Kirby Smart.
Kirby Smart? What
Kirby
did Kirby Smart do?
Well, you know, Georgia hasn't been blowing people away.
Right.
They've had to come back twice, once against a certain alumnus of the show school.
Well, don't say that. Say what team it is, because we don't.
South Carolina.
South Carolina, yes. Because now you're making me feel like I've got to defend my school.
Well, you got to defend your school.
Yeah, I do.
They were up on the number one team in the country.
That's true.
They had the chance.
They did. They totally did.
They were climbing up the mountain, Tony.
24-14 against Georgia is probably the best we're going to do in terms of the big moment.
But according to Kirby Smart, right, when asked about, you know, are they really, because they're the number one team in the country on the AP poll and the coaches poll, are they really a true number one team? Kirby Smart's reaction was, well, I think every team in the SEC should be ranked.
Oh, that's silly.
You know, he comes off sounding like he's justifying why he struggled. Because he's like, even our lowest teams in the SEC, nobody wants to play them.
Nobody wants to play Vanderbilt? Are you 100% sure about this?
You know what? He may not think Vanderbilt's in the SEC. I don't know.
Right.
I'm throwing that out there.
That's my opinion. Ask UNLV if they had, if they found Vanderbilt to be, that was UNLV won that game like 40-37. And they really thought it was like, all right, very cool. Pretty awesome that we won that game. Right, Wake Forest beat Vanderbilt. Stop it with this. Stop it with this. Look, Georgia, Kentucky, Missouri, like they're ranked. Florida was ranked. Tennessee was ranked. South Carolina was not. Alabama, Texas A&M is ranked. LSU is ranked. Ole Miss is ranked. Auburn has not been, I don't think, has not been ranked this season. Arkansas is not that good. Mississippi State's not that good. Not every team in the SEC should be ranked. That's ridiculous. But I mean, is he selling? He's probably selling his schedule as like we have a lot tougher.
Played a lot of really hard teams. I think he's trying to justify the fact that against non-ranked teams, Auburn and South Carolina, they struggled.
Right.
They struggled.
But the thing is that they're struggling, and yet if you just keep winning, it'll just take care of itself. We're not doing the style points thing anymore like we used to do in the day. There's four teams that get into this thing. If you keep winning, then you win the SEC championship, you'll be in.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Just keep winning. When it was one versus two, style points kind of became a big deal.
People
had to win by a lot.
And they really haven't had a tough schedule yet. And that's why, goes back to what you were saying before about, nothing in the schedule has really popped. And it's almost like Georgia has been non-existent this season.
Right, yeah.
Now, they play Kentucky this week. But, overall, they don't play anybody.
Well, I think a lot
I'm looking at their schedule now. I didn't realize that, it's a really weak schedule.
Yeah. going back to Deion for a second, do I think Deion Sanders would have popped in any year ever in college football? Of course. There's no question about that.
Well, he popped at Jackson State.
Yeah.
I didn't even know Jackson State was a football team.
If you put him if you put him in the heyday of Nick Saban in Alabama being number one by a mile and whatnot, he would have still gotten the kind of attention that he's getting now. He's not filling a void. He would have created another sense. But it does go that there just isn't a feeling yet that the big college football season has really morphed into something overly thrilling. I mean, Clemson is down. Alabama's not down per se. I mean, they're 4-1, but you know, they're ranked 11th. I mean, that means that means people think there's 10 teams better than Alabama in the AP poll. We are seeing teams that we know won't be around much longer. Like we're seeing good teams at like 4-0, but they've got a tremendous schedule coming up. Very unlikely that they'll win a majority of those games. But what else do you have? I mean, you've got what, Pat McAfee screaming about Washington State is the only other thing that people are just like consuming themselves with in college football. It's not, we don't have a Heisman Trophy favorite per se, even though it looks like it's Caleb Williams right now, but that will sort itself out down the road. But other than that, we haven't really gotten got it rolling. I think it could start rolling this weekend with Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah,
and as October really kicks in, there might be other stories than what Deion is or is not doing at Colorado. But you know, I mean, look, the Pac-12 in its final year should be a fun story to do. There should be a lot more in-depth look at some of the teams in the Pac-12 that will be landing other places.
And honestly, at the moment, they are. Because, I mean, if you think about it, a lot of their teams right now are ranked, and I haven't felt that way about them in long time.
You've got Washington, Oregon, USC. You've got Washington State, Oregon State. You had UCLA not that long ago that was ranked. You had Colorado that was ranked. You had seven teams that at one point shared a spot. Oh, Utah. I forgot Utah's ranked. So you have six teams that are ranked in the Pac-12. Two that were ranked at one time this season. So the conference, which is completely disappearing next year, there should be a lot more focus on, hey, look at these teams. What are they going to do in their new conferences if this should keep up? And by the way, Washington State is a ranked team that doesn't have a home. What's going to happen to them?
Yeah.
Oregon State is a ranked team that doesn't have a home. What's going to happen to them? Like, there should be a little bit more focus on that. But, you know, the Red River rivalry this weekend really could shape Texas. I said earlier that they might pop into the new number one team if Georgia doesn't impress. I mean, I forget who Georgia's playing this weekend. I think it's Kentucky. They got
Kentucky.
A ranked team.
So yeah, they finally got a ranked team.
If Georgia wins, they'll stay number one. But you know, Texas could pop. Michigan is fantastic. So
we're finally getting to. I mean, LSU, Missouri, those are two ranked teams. That'll be a good one. Yeah, we're finally getting into I think better games than what we've had. But yeah, I mean, it's been a weird college football season because here we are coming. It was week five, week six.
Yeah, it's going into week six.
And there's only been one major storyline. And I can't think of that. Like in the years past, have we only had one major storyline?
And it's been that way since day one.
Yeah.
Right. It's been that way since week one, that week one game against TCU.
Well, I remember, you were the one who called it first and like, God, I hope he loses.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it can't be this easy. It's this easy.
I didn't want it to be that easy. I wanted it to be like, hey, look, maybe you win seven games, but I don't want you to win the first one out of the gate. Just sort of remind us that maybe it is tough to go from, you know, a Jackson State to a Colorado and into the Big 12. But that was, you know, it ended up being a pretty wild and fun game. And TCU, while not ranked, is a team that's, you know, that still had weapons. It still was a good enough team. It wasn't the same team that went to the national championship game, but still.
Now, do you think if Colorado was just Colorado and it wasn't really getting the Deion effect, right? Deion was winning games, but it wasn't flashy or anything like that.
Right.
And he wasn't being flashy. He was just being a normal coach. Do you think they would still have been a story and we would have gravitated towards some of the other college football storylines that are out there? Or, you know, because I'm just saying, like, if he wasn't brash and if he wasn't, you know, arrogant, and you know, like, you know, all this stuff that's kind of made Deion the center of attention. And it hasn't really even been Colorado. It's been Deion. You know, I mean, we get mad when we hear announcers and reporters saying, Coach Prime, Coach Prime. Yeah. It's like, that's not his name. Until he legally changes his last name to Prime, it's Coach Sanders.
I think that
would that have been a story regardless? Like, would it have been as big of a deal regardless, or would we have found another storyline to latch onto?
Well, my question would be, what storyline would we latch onto? And I keep going back to, all right, well, Arch Manning isn't playing yet. You know what I mean? Like, there's
Quinn
not
Ewers?
There's not a new coach. Really, that's like there's not a new coach at Michigan or Georgia or places like that. But I do think that where Deion wins in the media battle is because if you're, you know, Kirby Smart, let's just take Kirby Smart, for example. Most of Americans, most members of the media have not followed Kirby Smart, how he got to be the head coach at Georgia. There are some SEC scribes who knew of him when he was on Nick Saban's staff and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Same thing with like a Billy Napier, where there are very few people remember when he was a young OC at Clemson and then moved to. But Deion has been in everyone's life for 30 plus years, right? He's been a factor in something. He's been playing football, playing baseball, talking about football, now coaching football. And I think there is something that's attractive enough to media members who are like, this is a guy I really know. And it is addicting. And I said this before. It is addicting when the people you cover recognize you. And you kind of get a little bit of a reporter high on that. Like when they go, Jim. Yeah, Jim. All right, go ahead, ask your question. People kind of get, you know, they like that. They're usually anonymous people. And a big-time athlete or a big-time coach is kind of pointing them out as if they have a personal relationship. Deion does that really well with people. He hugs media members. Like, he makes people feel welcome. And I think they would have taken that and said, well, I got to return something to this guy, right? He gave me sunglasses, or he gave me a hug, asked me how my kids were. And that's where you get the coach prime. That's where you get the over exuberance, the accusation of bias in your broadcast and coverage. That's where it comes from.